The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Tuesday. And let me see what the date is today, because my computer clock is busted. I think it's the 18th. I'm sorry? What?
1-9.
Oh, it's Wednesday. That's what happens when your atomic clock on the wall craps out on you. Yeah, at any rate, it's today, folks. Coming up here in just a few minutes, co-author of the book The Manchurian President, Barack Obama's Ties to Communists, Socialists, and Other Anti-American Extremists. And we'll be talking with Brenda Elliott here in just a couple of minutes. Interesting things going on politically. Of course, you heard that Rand Paul won the primary in Kentucky. And, of course, Oregon. Gosh, this is what happens when the little socialist communists that live in, well, piddled in the pool so badly that they had to move out of California in wagons, not westward, but northward. Yeah, they infiltrated Oregon and, gosh, Washington, and, well, they're just having a good old little socialism. Well, politically, it looks like the winds are not blowing in the opposite direction in Oregon. Evidently, they're happy with their little communists there. At any rate. Oh, gosh. And after the interview, I want to get into a little bit more here. The sparks are starting to fly. Calderon says that he doesn't like what Arizona's doing. I'm starting to see a little bit more pushback by people like Gary Franchi. And, you know, oh, gosh, you know, does this mean something else? Well, we'll get into that and vet that out. But Phil Rosa, I guess he's the, let's see, the mayor of Los Angeles. Yes, the Hispanic city now. There was a threat to, well, we're going to boycott it. Well, nobody in California goes to Arizona in the first place. But that's not going to stop them. But the commissioner, the Arizona response to Los Angeles threat to boycott the conservative papers, this commissioner for electricity sent a letter over to Mayor Villagarosa and basically told him, you know what, you can go stuff it in your ear, and if you want to be over there reading by candlelight, keep threatening us. We got other markets we can sell our electricity to. Tell you what you do, get a bunch of those illegals out there, get them on little treadmills to generate your power for you. You'd have power to burn out in L.A. At any rate, we'll come back on the other side with Brenda J. Elliott, co-author of The Manchurian President. That's right, Barry Sartorell. We'll be right back. Introducing the new Go Berkey Kit, the first of its kind portable water purification system for those on the go. The new Go Berkey system has an amazing output of about a gallon an hour. Each Go Berkey kit includes a 1-quart high-quality stainless steel system, complete with a black Berkey purification element, a generic sports bottle, and a nylon carrying case. The whole kit weighs a mere 2.25 pounds. With an expected element life of around 3,000 gallons, you can refill the Go Berkey system up to an incredible 12,000 times before needing to replace the element. The new Go Berkey kit is perfect for backpacking, hiking, emergency packs, bug-out bags, international travel, car emergency kits, or for your desk at home or at work. Get your Go Berkey kit today for only $139 by calling 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. The online store, it's a featured product.
Did you ever wish that you could have done something while you still had the chance? What will you do if your income ends tomorrow? Or if you lose your home, as many already have? Do you have enough money to survive through an economic depression? If you don't want to gamble with your future, then FreeToProsper.com can help you quickly end your debt problems, protect your property and possessions, and develop a personal strategy to get you through the hard times. Most importantly, you get to keep your money and not pay another cent to creditors. Our program is often superior to bankruptcy, consolidation, or settlement. Visit FreeToProsper.com to find out more. This is your real chance to act ahead, so don't delay. Your future may depend on it. Call 718-615-0123 to learn more. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit FreeToProsper.com today.
Men, are you thinking about the health of your prostate? Recently, New Vitality Health Products gave away thousands of free bottles of the supplement Beta Prostate. Due to incredible demand, they're giving away more free bottles of Beta Prostate to any new customers who call now. Beta Prostate is packed with plant sterols that support your prostate health. Remember, your prostate affects urine flow, sleeping habits, intimacy, and overall quality of life. Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. And if you haven't tried Beta Prostate yet, you can call right now for a free bottle. You only pay shipping and handling. Call 1-800-790-6293. This offer is limited to one free bottle per household. Give your body nutrition that targets the prostate. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-790-6293 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
The book, The Manchurian President, Barack Obama's Ties to Communists, Socialists, and Other Anti-American Extremists. The release date was May 3rd on this book, The Manchurian President, from WorldNet Daily Books, and it is the most exhaustive investigation in President Obama's largely concealed personal history ever performed. Now, I have the co-author to this, Aaron Klein, and I have with me today Brenda J. Elliott. Hello, Brenda.
Hello, how are you?
Well, have you gotten any bomb threats yet?
No, and I haven't been audited, and the media's not camped on my doorstep.
Well, that's because Barack Obama has other problems. He'll get around to you one of these days, I'm sure. What prompted you from the outset? I always ask the question of what people's motivations are. Why did you team up with Klein on this book to write these scurrilous remarks about our beloved president?
Well, I have to take you back to the end of January 2008 when the Tony Rezko fraud and corruption trial was getting ready to start in Chicago. And I started a blog known as Rezko Watch, which became quite infamous on the Internet. Because I started tracking the trial. I went in knowing, of course, that Rezko and Obama, Barack Obama, had a relationship, but I had no clue where it was going to lead. And about the same time, Aaron Klein was doing research for articles for WorldNet Daily, and I didn't know at the time that he was looking at some of the same things that I was looking at. He was looking, of course, at Rashid Khalidi and his connections to Barack Obama in Chicago. And we crossed paths within a few weeks, and I started quoting him in some of my blog articles, and then we started corresponding, and then, you know, we fast forward to June of last year, and Aaron says, well, you know, I think I'm going to write a book about Barack Obama. He'd written two books about the Middle East and terrorists, but he thought he would do something different. And it literally was not 20 or 30 minutes later by email, he says, well, you know what? You've got so much information. He says, we need to do this together. So it was like an instant decision. We have an absolute meeting of the minds on the directions that we go. And that was how it got launched. We had a manuscript by Thanksgiving, and the book came out May 3rd.
The background on Barack Hussein Obama is dubious, to say the best, for the man. His parents, Sartoro was his daddy's name. He had,
well, his stepfather.
His stepfather.
Yeah, his stepfather.
Yeah, and I guess Mrs. I don't even know what her original name was, his mother. She was white. But indications are that this guy was schooled in Indonesia. He took the name Barry Sartoro. He was schooled in Indonesia. He claimed his faith was Muslim. The guy is living in Hawaii. All the people that are surrounding this guy are known communists and affiliations with communists. And then he makes a little trip to the United States and goes to college, and he's backed by certain individuals out of Chicago. All of a sudden, he pops up on the radar screen like Jimmy the Peanut Picker Carter did out of Georgia in 1975 and won the presidency in 76. What can you tell us about Barack Hussein Obama's background? And
well, the story is just a little bit more complicated. His mother was, of course, living in Hawaii when he was born. His father was an exchange student from Kenya, his birth father. He didn't stay around very long. He went off to college and back to Kenya. And his mother, the term is remarried. I haven't seen a marriage certificate, so we don't know that she was actually married to Barack Hussein Obama Sr. But she goes to Indonesia to join her husband, Sotaro. And when young Barack Obama goes with his mother, he is registered in school. He's about 5 or 6 years old. And the best that I can figure out, it may have been some kind of an Indonesian custom, maybe to protect him because he was of African descent, whereas other children were dark-skinned, of course, but not as dark as he was. Maybe to protect him, for whatever reason, one of the adults in his life registered him in school as Barry Sotaro, as a Muslim. Then he is shipped back, literally shipped back to Hawaii by his mother when he's about 10 or 11 years old, and for her parents, the Dunhams, to raise him, to take care of him. And we don't have anything saying what name he used. That's been raised as a question. We don't know. But we do know from his autobiography, Dreams from My Father, that he did have a mentor in Hawaii through his young years until he was a teenager and went off to college in California. And he names him, he's Frank. He just doesn't say who Frank is. Frank was Frank Marshall Davis, probably the first full-fledged American communist that we know for sure that he was involved with. So from a very young age, he's bounced around between Hawaii and Indonesia, and Sotaro was a Muslim. He was Obama was registered in school as a Muslim. Even his own birth father was a Muslim.
The he gets to, and by the way, we've had video, and there was actually a radio interview as well that was done with the ambassador of Kenya, and these talk show hosts ask the Kenyan ambassador, are you going to put up a marker delineating Mr. Obama's birth in Kenya? And he said, oh, most assuredly, yeah, we know the spot where he was born here in Kenya, and we're going to put up a monument. I've seen a video of his wife admitting in front of God and all his people, and it was recorded, mm-hmm. that Kenya being Obama's birthplace.
His homeland
and birthplace, yeah, his homeland. So we get the story here that, he was actually born in Hawaii. How many millions of dollars has Obama paid lawyers to try to forestall this? Because there's been court cases that have been brought, judges dismiss them. How important an issue is it if this guy is a naturalized citizen, or eligible, I should say, to run for president of the United States?
Well, it's a very big issue, and there are two factors here that Aaron and I see as major issues. And one is the highest court of the land. I mean, there have been courts that have dismissed it as natural-born citizen. But we have never had what the Constitution calls a natural-born citizen settled by the highest court of the land. Is that one American-born parent? Is that two? We don't know.
Oh.
But the responsibility for when, let's say, you decide you want to run for president in 2012, and in order to become an eligible candidate to run, you would have to go to each Secretary of State, and you would have to qualify to be placed on the ballot. Now, I understand Arizona has drawn up something that will put that to the test for someone who wants to be on the Arizona ballot to run in the primary for president, that they will have to show a birth certificate showing birth. Now, I'm not sure if that's going to resolve it unless we have the issue of what constitutes a natural-born citizen.
Well, I remember several years ago when the power elite were trying to groom Arnold Schwarzenegger, now governor mm-hmm. of California, and the issue of running possibly for president, and, man, right out of the chute, it said, wait a minute. People said, wait a minute, he wasn't born here in the United States. He was born over in Austria. So, therefore, it's not illegal or unconstitutional for him to be governor of a state, but you can't be president of the United States. Now, it would seem to me, Brenda, that doing that is kind of splitting hairs. Either the guy is eligible or he's not.
You know, exactly.
Do we need a bunch of lawyers to go in there and split political and legal hairs? And so far, I've not seen a copy. Have you seen an original copy of the Hawaiian birth certificate?
No.
No.
I have not. Of course, the other proof that has been offered, and it's not a proof, is the two hometown birth notices that were published in two Honolulu newspapers. As I explain, I'm a family historian and genealogist as well as a professional historian. Mm-hmm. And if anybody wants to remember to their little hometown newspapers, Grandma G calls up Miss Bessie and she says, you know what, I got a new grandchild, and would you put this in the paper? And we get the names of the parents and a date of birth, etc. But we don't get the doctor's name usually. We don't get a lot of details. So it's contemporaneous historical material, but it's not proof of birth or where the birth took place.
Well, it would seem to be a little contentious issue, the one that has not been resolved. And from what I've seen so far in the federal courts, the federal judges have been dismissing this as being frivolous and of no standing.
Well, the person who would have standing would be a Secretary of State. And the problem with that is we have the Secretary of State project that succeeded a couple of times of getting Secretaries of State in place. The Al Franken case, of course, is one of those where the Secretary of State determines what is and what is not.
Okay. We've got to take this break. We'll take your phone calls as well for Brenda Elliott today. The book, The Manchurian President. We'll be right back.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Well, the man voted on a platform of change. And what change? Well, people knew that things were miserable. By the time that Barack Obama got into office, the recession slash depression was in full swing. There were all sorts of creative ideas in which to pull this country economically out of the doldrums, and there was all sorts of things, stimulus package and bailouts of corporations, and people started to get kind of, Brenda, I guess I could use the term willy-nilly here on Barack Obama, because they started to see what his changes were about. Now, if you remember the last midterm cycle, the Democrats took control of the House and the Senate, and they were going to put an end to the war. Hey, you elect us, we're going to have control. We're going to stop the war in the Middle East. We'll bring the troops home. Only to discover that, Barack Obama gets in. Hey, there's more troops in Afghanistan. We're not going anywhere. And
well, you can almost take to the bank now anything. We used to joke in the beginning about flip-flopping, and now it has turned to expiration date, because just about any promise or anything that the American people were told was going to happen has an expiration date. Sometimes it happens and you don't know that it has happened. And, of course, it's all about translating code words as well. things like social justice to progressive, that has a totally different meaning than it does to the general population. So it is deliberately complex. It is deliberately disillusioning, and it is a lot of hocus pocus. And like you said, things happen willy nilly.
Well, and we all saw the pictures. And anybody that tells me that they didn't watch the inauguration of Obama on January 22nd, I'd have to put them on a lie detector test, because this is one of the monumental pages in American history. Number one, it's the first black president. Well, I don't know if he's really black. He's half white, half black. But he's generally...
We used to say mulatto back in the old days.
Back in the day before hate crime legislation and all that. That might hurt somebody's feelings now, Brenda, if we call him a mulatto.
Well, we have to interpret things here.
Yeah. I have to get out my commander decoder ring here. Yeah. This free speech in America. I know you can't yell fire in a crowded theater or throw a Molotov cocktail in one, but there seems to be a real clamping down. Obama doesn't seem to like people that are speaking out. And if we look at this in a political page or a turning point in this nation's history, the problem that we have had, and I'm going to try to handle this one delicately with you, because I've said this on the air before, there has been an unspoken derision between white and black. And it was never spoken above a whisper, even if it was recognized, if people cognitively caught on as to why they were feeling the way they felt. We have raised generations of people in this country that have come to the idea that entitlements are a birthright in this country. Now, we've had many different programs by the United States government. We've had welfare and food stamps, and for those that met, you know, extraordinary circumstances in their life and they just couldn't take care of themselves, don't worry, the state will ride in on a white horse with checkbook in hand and will help you. Now, for years and years and years and years, what we've done is we've created, and just not black, mind you, but we have created a permanent underclass with the inability for them to help themselves. In other words, what we've done is literally bred the ambition to take care of oneself, which has always been one of the standards here in America. You know, and number one, it's a gift to be born in this country. I thank God that I was. But here you weren't guaranteed anything. You were... The government was supposed to do certain things, and they had their responsibilities. We had our duties and our obligations as being citizens, and everything worked out just fine. But then we started to create a mindset and a class of citizen in this country that would scream that, wait a minute, I am entitled. I am entitled. And I think we saw this on January 22nd of this year. It was not only blacks that showed up there, folks. There was a lot of white people as well. And now we've got a problem, because now we have people that actually believe, and these are the people that voted Barack Obama, the vast majority of them, voted him as president of the United States. This is our new underclass, permanent underclass of people. Somehow they feel they've been cheated out of life and that they need the nanny state or the government check in order to survive. What do you see wrong, Brenda? And I didn't ask you how old you are. I'm assuming you've been around the block a few times.
I'm a baby boomer. Okay. I'm one of the first baby boomers.
Okay, so you understand exactly what I'm saying here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm a New Englander. I was brought up, and all the people that I grew up, we were all brought up to understand that you worked for what you got. You didn't have anything handed to you. There was no such thing as that kind of welfare. Sure, churches had the community chest. In my town, it was a small town. But, you know, you lived in a community, and there was a community chest, so to speak. So at Christmas time, there was a community Christmas
sure.
party, and all children came, and everybody had was given something regardless of whether you had money or you didn't. But we were raised on a work ethic. Now people are being raised on an entitlement ethic.
Therein lies the difference. We'll take the break. We'll take your calls into the next segment. My guest today, co-author of the book, The Manchurian President.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Every day, RBN's mission is to use our collective voice to spread truth and relevant information for daily survival against the growing erosion of our constitutional rights and the growing tyranny in our government. But truth, like freedom, isn't free. The truth is, RBN needs your support against the growing evil forces in our government that are moving quickly to bring our nation down. If you agree with the mission of RBN and one unifying voice, please stand with us by donating any amount you can afford. Your support will also help us launch a new elected representative network that will be totally listener-supported and commercial-free. To donate, visit republicbroadcasting.org, call 800-724-2719, or mail your donation to Republic Broadcasting, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Brenda, to finish out that mindset on the socialization of America, actually, it's properly termed fascism when the government gets involved in corporations. But socialism is basically the collecting of stuff and then redistributing it fairly amongst the masses.
And except for the elite. The elite get their cut first.
Well, absolutely. And they don't have to worry about health care. They've got money. Their freedom and their liberty comes by how big their cash wad is, how big their bank account is, and how many lawyers, high-power lawyers, I can hire. I mean, we all knew what Bill Clinton said when, well, what's the meaning of is? What is? We can get in there and split the legal hairs. But with this guy, for years and years and years, Clinton's wife tried, along with Ted Kennedy, tried for years to get national health care passed. And we resisted until such time as the stage was set with our Congress critters in the District of Criminals, until they amassed enough people together. Now, keep in mind that the majority, if this really was a democracy and they were paying attention in Washington, D.C., more than 51% of the people told them, hey, take that health care and stick that someplace else. We don't want it. But they went ahead and did it. Now, that's taking resources, and that's distributing it around. And we all heard the heartfelt stories of people that didn't have health care and how many people would die. And, well, let's not ignore the fact that many states' budgets were broken by taking care of illegals with food stamps and health care and emergency room and all of these other issues. Now, we couple all of this into a situation we have an economic meltdown in this country, and people are scared. I understand that. They don't know where their next meal is coming from. So a food stamp program or a welfare check looks pretty doggone good. But there again, governments don't generate any wealth. All they do is collect the stuff and spend it. So we're kind of looking at a system that has kept building on itself all of these years. And Brenda, I cannot believe we got 535 Congress critters up there. 435 congressmen and women and 100 senators. 535 people that do not listen to the voice of mainstream America out here. And this agenda is continually being pushed. And one of the latest additions here is the day before my birthday, next month, June 28th, they're going to have the confirmation hearings on a one Ms. Kagan, which, by the way, is, if nobody's noticed, she is a woman. She is a lesbian. She is a liberal. And I hope y'all remember. Now, remember what happened when this court case came up about the gun rights of people that lived in Washington, D.C.? Remember what the vote was on that, 5-4? Well, if Kagan gets the nomination for this, she's discussed many different things, but she dismissed the notion that the Second Amendment deserved unlimited protection against governmental regulation. We've already seen the states, Brenda, say, look, we're going to alleviate the U.S. government here and the BATFE and everybody that's so concerned about firearms and its manufacture and distribution and all that other stuff. Don't worry about it. We're going to manufacture the guns and the ammunition in our states for sale to our own citizens. So you don't have to worry about it anymore. Sounds like a good idea. But now we're loading up the Supreme Court. And for years and years and years, and Brenda, like I said, you've been around long enough, where it wasn't that one group or one party of individuals were pandering to an agenda. Time was that they were told that you swore an oath to the Constitution, you raised your hand, your right hand, in public affirmation, and chances are you might even put your left hand on a Bible to swear to God, okay, that you're going to protect and defend and uphold that Constitution. What's gone wrong with that little deal?
Well, when we talk about the Congress critters, there is a group of in the House that people are pretty much not aware of who they are and what their agenda is. They are what I call the enablers. They enable because it's the Congress that decides how we spend the money. They either authorize it or they don't. And in the House, we have a group. At first they were called the House Progressive Caucus, and then they changed their name to the Congressional Progressive Caucus. Right now, I think they number somewhere between 75 and 80 members. Some of those are members of the Hispanic Congressional Caucus. Some of them are members of the Congressional Black Caucus. But they are socialists. They were enabled and founded with the help of an organization called the Democratic Socialists of America. There was a Chicago chapter that is affiliated with the Socialist Party out of Chicago, the new party that Barack Obama was endorsed by in 1995. But to back up the history of the House Progressive Caucus, the DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America, enabled them to come into being. They even shared caucus actually shared the same website with the DSA in the beginning for a few years, 88, 89, somewhere around there. But what happened that changed the whole picture, that enabled this group of people to become empowered, is communism fell in Soviet Russia. And up until that time, the Communist Party had the, pretty much the lock, but they lost power. So the Socialist International, which is a large organization, the Socialist International, underneath that umbrella is the U.S. branch, which is the Democratic Socialists of America. And you have a direct line from the Socialist International to the DSA to these members of Congress, and I have researched them in the sequel to this book. I will be devoting a whole chapter to explaining how these people, now they're out of the closet. I just did an article here very recently about how they are now out of the closet. It's okay to be a socialist. Didn't Newsweek say so? We're all socialists now.
You know,
they have this agenda, and they have had this agenda for a very long time, and it's like, hallelujah, now they can come out of the closet and vote for it openly.
Well, and you made the point earlier, and I have made this as well, then talking about people that are running into challenges in life and somehow they fall short, and we used to have communities and churches that would go in and help individuals. I mean, if your house burnt down, they would find you a place to live. You know, if your clothes burned up, they would get you some secondhand clothes, and they would do everything that they could to put you back on your feet. But once they propped you up, picked you up, dusted you off, and put you back on your feet, say a prayer to God, and away you go. That was it. This
exactly.
This has been a permanent type of, and there's nothing wrong with being generous. There's nothing wrong with being compassionate. There is nothing wrong giving money to an individual as long as it's of my own volition. Therein lies the difference. And what is, as I said before, and it bears repeating again, the people that we have in this country nowadays, and I'm with you, you know, if I didn't mow that grass when I was a kid, I didn't get my 35 cent a week allowance. If I didn't do what my mother had asked me to do, or I was giving her a hard time, or I wasn't making marks in school, guess what? I didn't get my 35 cents a week. Now, that wouldn't even buy you a cup of coffee in today's world, but that gives you kind of an idea of how old I'm getting. But it was the work ethic. You didn't get anything unless you put an effort forth and you worked for it.
Exactly.
Now we've got a whole class and, I guess, a whole new category of people in this country that are there to support those that are now seated in power and there to support their agenda. And this is scary times in this country. I don't want to live in a communist or a socialist country. I want to live in the Grand Republic in which I was born, with the scope of the government and its powers limited by that Constitution. They've thrown that out with a baby in the bathwater, my dear.
Well, you know, I grew up on a very strong work ethic. Probably my parents and grandparents are similar to your parents and grandparents. I know that my father was in the Navy for a couple of years, and then he worked in the woods chopping wood with my grandfather and the man who became my father-in-law. I mean, you went out and you did what you had to do to make those nickels to buy the milk to put it on the table. That's not the ethic anymore.
You know, it was. I played a clip the other day where a woman had expressed, and actually called into the Michael Savage show, and expressed, and she was from Boca Raton, which is not a ghetto, okay? A lot of rich people still down there. And it was one of, she was on welfare, she was on food stamps. And the host asked her, said, well, where do you think that money comes from? That comes from my tax dollars to pay you so you can buy your food and pay your rent and all that other stuff. Where do you think that comes from? She says, well, food stamps, that comes from Obama.
Yeah, and you must have heard that clip. Wasn't it in Chicago or Detroit that the woman was interviewed and she was asked, you know, Obama, she was going to get this money. Obama was president. And where are you going to get the money? Well, it's Obama money. Well, where's Obama going to get it from?
She said, I don't know.
I don't know. It's Obama money.
And I don't care.
No?
Even before that guy was elected, and this made the rounds, it had gone viral on the internet and circled the globe about four times. There was a woman, I believe, she was a black lady out in either California or Arizona. And at any rate, it was the bank, it was actually a recording of the bank calling her up and saying, look, you haven't made your payments. We have got to come and collect your car. And she said, well, good luck on that. It's in two different locations. Now, I took that to mean that it was probably having an engine rebuild. But at any rate, they said, well, fine, but we're going to take the car. And she said, well, fine, go ahead and take it. Obama will buy me a new car anyhow.
Yeah, and this is what people think, because all these kinds of promises were made that people did. Nancy Pelosi just now is telling musicians out in California that they don't have to work. They can practice their craft and not to worry about health care because it's going to be provided for them.
Well, and that health care issue is another issue here. Let me play you a short clip here. This is our. When I was up in Michigan, Dingell has been there long enough for the guy is stroked out, but people in Michigan have still not gotten the idea that, wait a minute here, there's a problem, and we keep voting for people like you, and things get progressively worse. Why is that? Well, here's Dingell's clip on what he says about the health care.
Are we ready to let 72,000 more people die? In our country, if 18,000 died, or whatever the number is, the figure that anyone comes up with per year because of a lack of health insurance or health care, when this bill doesn't basically take effect until 2014?
Paul W., we're not ready to be doing it, but let me remind you, this has been going on for years. We are bringing it to a halt. The harsh fact of the matter is, when you're going to pass legislation that will cover 300 American people in different ways. It takes a long time.
He meant 300 million.
To do the necessary administrative steps that have to be taken to put the legislation together to control the people.
Would you like to repeat that, Mr. Dingell? Would you like to control me? You know, they passed this thing under what they claimed was constitutional. And through Commerce Clause. Well, if they can do that through the Commerce Clause, what else can they do? Let's take a phone call here. Henry in New England. Hello, Henry.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Hi.
Yeah, one of the things, though, I never can understand about this country, too, and other things that neither one of you included, is that, first of all, number one, the churches would only have so much money. And the thing that neither one of you included, which I think is the difference between even where they think here compared to even Switzerland, if they even had anarchy, because you have socialism, capitalism, communism, those old systems of government. But even if they had anarchy, that would mean no written law. That doesn't mean kill somebody. That means, you know, that's a result of anarchy, but means no law, you know, no government structure. Is that they are over there more interested in protecting their own jobs, their own culture, their own language, race, and so forth, and higher standard of living. And their approach would be stuff more innovative, scientific, logical, industrialization. Kind of like Germany, makes great cameras, makes great cars, makes great stuff. Here, and I've been listening to regular radio, your radio is different because yours is more informative. But on the AM radios, I've been listening like Bob Grant and different things even in the 80s. And up until now, and I kind of, late 80s now, this is like, you know, up until now, and I kind of, you know, in this country, they seem to just glorify all this stuff more around just religion and constant change and struggle. And two things is that they should stop all this immigration, both legal immigration, which is mostly from third world poor countries, and certainly the illegal, which is also, again, mostly from non-European third world countries that downsizes jobs, downsizes labor, makes more struggle and makes more poverty so that even people would off and on would be in and out of jobs, so they're going to need food stamps or whatever, welfare, whatever. And all this stuff, it's more around, you know, it's like, and then the other thing is all the jobs going to China. That's another thing, too. All this stuff that we should be a global society and this country should be more for a moral example to evolve, you know, better humanity. Where I talk to people in, you know, Germany and different countries, even ones that aren't strong, you know, like Marxists, or and this approach, even without government, it's more a logical, how can I say it, a logical intellectual, like with the solar, with the wind, with the technology. I don't know if you know who Gary Null is this N-U-L-L.
He used to be on this network. Can you get to your point, Henry?
Okay. Oh, yeah, right. I heard him on your network once. Well, what I'm saying is that I think to have something, if we're going to be paying taxes anyway, I think that, you know, it's one thing to have what Obama's talking about because he's more like a communist. But I think there ought to be safety nets, especially with all this competition forced on the American people. I'd say for 50 years, 40-something years, as long before I was born, with all this influx of different cultures and immigration, downsizing labor, all the outsourcing, like Pennsylvania, for instance.
Okay, wait a minute. Henry, I'm going to have to cut you off here because you were heading for a point, and then you branched off to go someplace else. When we get back, I'm going to nail you down, and I think I knew where you were going with this. So hang on. 800-313-9443. Subject of conversation today is Barack Hussein Obama, or as I like to just simply refer to him as Barry Sartorial, the guy that's occupying the White House. We'll be right back.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
We are back. Henry, you said something about entitlements. Would you like to make a clarification on that one?
No, I said safety nets.
Okay, safety nets.
Entitlement means that you're just entitled.
Okay.
A safety net means that you have to, it has to be something that you qualify for under certain circumstances for your own people.
Uh-huh.
And that doesn't mean necessarily everything. But, and first of all, as far as Obama is concerned, I'm glad. I didn't vote for the bastard. And, I don't like progressives. I don't like the communists.
You mentioned Gary Null.
Well, oh, yeah, Gary Knowles politically is kind of like the ones from the baby boomers with the 60s. I know that either way. Either one of them's all into all this religion and moral crap,
well,
or
and,
they're
and,
into all this stuff with the government controlling everything, or
yeah.
We should be more multicultural. Yeah, I've heard him on WBAI.
Yeah,
I don't like the politics of BAI.
Well, and right. Suffice it to say, he's got
okay.
the Progressive Radio Network, and as much as I like Steve Lenman, which I bounced off of this network and put on the Progressive Radio Network, which happens
right.
to be Gary Knowles. You see, here's the problem.
But it's not his politics. It's what he talks about, the technology in Europe for free alternative energy, meaning it doesn't come from the government. It means you put solar and stuff on. And you, like the Germans do, they look at things, that's true. You have a strong government structure there with Germany, that's true. But the people in Europe are not as much into all this religious moral crap.
No, my friend, they're steeped in socialism. This is how
that's
they can...
the government. I'm talking about...
It's the people! Wait a minute. It's the people!
Yeah, but when you pay money to put solar and stuff on your house,
Henry,
that's not supplied by the government. You pay for that.
No, Henry, we're splitting hairs here.
Oh,
I am talking about right. governmental, what their approach is, how they govern, what their philosophies, and tell me that France isn't full of socialists. And I got a bridge, and I'll sell you right up there in New England.
Yeah, well, France may be a little more Marxist-like than Scandinavia.
Henry, I appreciate your call. If you haven't noticed, England, European Union, France, United States, we're all becoming these warm little fuzzy because we care so much about people that we're willing to do things that are contrary to our law. You know, if you want to live in a socialist or a communist state, fine. Get rid of the government. But you better get rid of millions of people in this country that do not like the flavor and the smell and the direction that this country is not headed toward is already in. Brenda, you got anything to say about that one?
I'm growing white hair here.
Me too. And this guy listens to the network.
I'm trying to get my roots done. I've been sitting here so long. I lost the train of thought a long time ago.
Yeah, me too. At any rate. All right, back to the book here. Well, let's get on our safety spot here. Back to the book. Now, we've got Obama that's going to probably, let me ask you this question. Did you think that 4 months or 5 months of a presidency could cause this much consternation in this country?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I told you, I started writing the end of January, and it was within 2 weeks that I discovered the Bill Ayers connection. And that was, I'm not going to go into the details, but I received an email, I followed up on it, and then I tracked it down. And then it led to all of this other cast of characters. I started out with Tony Rezko, and the next thing I knew, I was up to my eyeballs in more crooks and criminals and graft, and
that's,
then it led to the socialists and the Marxists and
okay,
the communists.
That is the line that I want to follow when we get back from the break here. I want you to go through the people that Barack Obama was surrounded with and the ideology basis, but also who helped them that were part of the, I don't know, do we call them the Chicago gang? What do we call these people that supported Obama and his wife, Michelle? We'll take the top of the hour break. We'll be back on the other side here with Brenda Elliott, co-author of The Manchurian President. Introducing the new Go